Welcome to another edition of the EA-HCP Steward Podcast. Today, our two guests are both working to protect the Edwards Aquifer ecosystem, but in very unique ways. First up is Dan Robertson, the video technician for the City of San Marcos. Dan has wrapped up a production on a video aimed at getting tubers in the San Marcos River to do their part in protecting the river. Our second interview is with Dr. Glenn Longley, who is recognized nationally and internationally for his pioneering work on the Edwards Aquifer aquatic ecosystem. He was the director of the Edwards Aquifer Research Center at Texas State University from 1979 until he recently retired. He has led many water quality research teams studying the San Marcos River system and associated endangered species. Glenn will provide his perspective on some new ideas in preventing sedimentation in the river, which can harm endangered species. But first up, here is Dan Robertson. So Dan, thanks for taking time to talk with us today. Before we get into the specifics, why don't you give us a little background on the video you guys just produced?
Okay, so we produced an educational video called San Marcos River, Life at 72 Degrees. So this project was really the brainchild of Melanie Howard, who works here for the city, as well as another employee named Amy Kerwin, with the whole intention of educating the public about the importance of the river that runs right through our town.
Melanie and Amy, you know, have different jobs here at the city, but they really kind of combined and came together for this particular project.
So yes, Melanie Howard implements the habitat conservation plan for us here in the city, and Amy Kerwin is in charge of our trash and recycling and everything that's involved with that here in the city. So it just kind of made sense that since those two go hand in hand, that because of the high volume of traffic we have on the San Marcos River, especially during the summertime, we wanted to create a video to educate people on the importance of taking care of the river, not knowing what to do with their trash, what they could and could not bring with them, and just an overall education.
So it sounds like an interesting project. How did you pull the pieces together? Was it mostly local folks? Did you use people from out of town? How did that all work?
Well, I feel like it was primarily, I give all the credit to Melanie and Amy. I just kind of piggybacked all the resources they had. You know, they were able to contact local talent to be on screen, or you know, we have a local band that actually did the music for the video. So honestly, they were able to give me direction. You know, they kind of turned me loose with it, to write the script and shoot and edit and, return with the finished product for them to look at.
And you mentioned that, that you've already edited it once. I guess the rules may have changed on the river. So this is, I guess, going to be kind of like a living, breathing type of video for the future too, right?
Yes. So we've already had a couple of revisions to the video due to some rules changes along the river. And I think that's kind of the beauty of this project. It covers a lot of information. However, we're able to adapt and change the video for whether we're seeing changes in city ordinances, or we want to actually expand on specific information within the video. We're able to do that. We're not just kind of locked into this box. So, you know, like you said, it kind of has taken on this life. It's kind of a living, breathing project.
So you mentioned that you're from Louisiana, and you've been here 8 years or so, I guess. What was the thing that most impressed you, or maybe caught your attention about the San Marcos River and this whole ecosystem as you get, you know, had a chance to spend a lot of time, you know, shooting the video? What did you learn?
Well, the biggest difference, obviously, for me was, you know, having a water source that was clean and clear. You know, being used to whether it's muddy swamps and rivers and lakes, this was, you know, 180 degrees difference. So I learned lots of things, but what stands out the most is how our river is connected to the Edwards Aquifer.
So it is an amazing ecosystem, and how the Edwards Aquifer and the San Marcos River work together. And so I'm sure you guys were really focused in on trying to get that message across to people who use the river.
The message is that the San Marcos River is an important and valuable resource to this city. And, you know, we just want to get the point across that everyone needs to do their part in protecting the river.
Thanks, Dan. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks for the opportunity.
And now our interview with Dr. Glenn Longley. Glenn, so thanks so much for agreeing to speak with us today.
I'd be happy to let you know whatever you have in mind.
Well, so I know that you've studied the Sesame Creek area for a long time. Give us a little bit of background about that particular area.
Well, first of all, I've been involved with looking at the river since 1961 when I came here as a student. Then I worked as an undergraduate for a professor that was getting his PhD on the river, Dr. Hannon. And so I did a lot of extensive work on the river during in City Park and Sewell Park during that time. When I came back here as a professor in 69, I had a number of students through the years, 45 years at the university. So through that time, I had students that worked on Sesame and more so on the river and on the Blanco River and other areas. Yeah, I got a little bit of knowledge about it.
Well, so talk to us some about the issues that we're seeing here as far as the sedimentation and that running off and impacting maybe the San Marcos River and species.
Well, I think something that may be of interest to a lot of folks is when I came here as a student, I don't know whether it was the city or the university or who it was specifically, but every year they annually dredged the river below the university, the bridge there, I don't know what that bridge is called, down through City Park and Sewell Park. They took a blade and pulled it across and kept the sediment down and also the vegetation, which was a concern for a lot of swimmers and so forth. And the river stayed much deeper at the time. Of course, it didn't do a lot of good for wild rice or anything else living in the river, probably. But anyway, that stopped about 1970.
So let's fast forward to today. Instead of looking at doing as much sediment removal, we're talking about incorporating some best management practices in preventing sediment from getting into the river in the first place. So what are your thoughts about that?
There's already so much sediment in the river. It's not anywhere near the way it was when I became acquainted with the river. The river is now shallower on half to three-quarters of the width of the river than it was at the time. But it has allowed new areas to develop because of the shallowness and the fine sediment that's now in the river. Wild rice is doing very well through Sewell Park. And that probably was not the case in the past.
And so when planners are talking about stream restoration, what kinds of improvements are we looking at?
I think there's a considerable need for it. I think any thing that we can do to slow down the flow in the river would be beneficial. I personally think that we should have incentives for building with rainfall capture systems. And that would have a great impact on decreasing the amount of flow in the stream, and therefore you wouldn't need as many of these physical changes in the stream itself because you wouldn't have the high rate of flow and so forth.
What kinds of improvements along the stream banks do you think can be made?
The riparian area has many introduced species like chinaberry and ligustrum and so forth that should be removed, and I know the city is making some effort to do that. But whatever is done, the bank stabilization is a benefit, and that's one of the things that's being proposed. As far as areas to capture runoff and hold it for very long, they're probably limited one in the places to put that kind of a larger capture.
So, like all these cities here in this area of the state of Texas, you know, there's lots of growth. What do you see as a future here?
It's nothing but going to continue. When I came here, it had like 3,000 students, and it now has 37,000 students, and it's going to continue to grow. It's a very attractive place to go to school, has many good programs, and those kind of things are attractive to people, and I think it will continue to be. That's going to cause the area to grow and grow and get denser and denser.
So you think that planning for growth is a must?
There's a definite need for putting controls on some of the things that happen when new construction is instigated. Runoff controls, amount of impermeable cover. I personally think a rainfall capture system should be required on every bit of construction, private, public, residential, commercial, whatever.
Glad, appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
No problem. Thank you.